Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, we continue looking at Paul's statement, the next to the last verse in Galatians chapter 6, when he says, "From now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." And we left the air yesterday talking about who it is that the Galatians were troubling, besides Paul. Paul's the obvious one. He tells them not to trouble him any longer, but they were troubling more than just him by their sympathy to the false teachers, the Judaizers, who were teaching a mixture of grace plus works for justification before God, which is an impossibility. And as we saw in the broadcast yesterday, in addition to Paul, they were troubling themselves, harming their own spiritual health. They were gambling with their own spiritual well-being. Number two, they were troubling their loved ones, their families, their friends, those who look to them for leadership and guidance. Number three, they were troubling their churches. We know of four churches that were in the Galatian district that were included in Paul's letter to the Galatians. There may have been others that we don't know about, but four that we are quite certain of. And these churches were being weakened by doctrinal confusion and divided by congregational disagreements. And I don't need to remind you that God puts great emphasis upon unity among brethren, and that wrangling and divisions over anything, but particularly when there are people who are straying from the truth, is a great disgrace to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, a great dishonor to Christ himself, and serves to greatly weaken the churches that Christ has established as a testimony to the gospel and to the truth of the Bible. We need to be careful. We need to be careful how we impact the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. God will hold us to great accountability for the damage that we do to one of his churches. And these Galatians were very much damaging their own church by their waywardness, by their lack of fidelity to the truth of the gospel. Who are they troubling? Number four, their pastors, their elders. We read about some of those in Acts chapter 14, and I'll get that passage for you in just a minute. Acts 14 and verse 23. "So when they had appointed elders to every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. And after they had passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia," and so forth. And this is talking about the churches in Galatia. Let me back up. Verse 21, "And when they had preached the gospel to that city and made disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch." And this is in reference to Derbe. So we get those are the four churches right there, the four cities. Derbe, Lystra, Iconium, Antioch. "And when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed." So there were elders, a synonym for pastors, in these Galatian churches who were committed with the responsibility of preaching the Word of God, of maintaining the faith that had been delivered to them through the words and the pen of the Apostle Paul. They had a responsibility to keep the flock together, keep them from getting scattered, to keep them all trusting in Christ and believing the same thing about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here there were people in the churches who were toying with heresy, and that would be a great burden upon their pastors. I assure you, as a pastor myself, that this would cause a great deal of strain and stress and concern and trouble. Not only Paul was being troubled, but the pastors were being troubled. When he says, "From now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus," the Galatian pastors could speak up and say, "Me too, me too. Don't trouble us anymore. We want to see this controversy over. Listen to what Paul says in this epistle, and stop giving an ear to these false teachers." We think the epistle had that very effect, and we're grateful to think that it does. Remember what the writer of Hebrews said in chapter 13 and verse 17. "Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you." Boy, that is a loaded text. It tells members of the church that they ought to be submissive to their pastors, the ones who rule over you. And that is in reference to yet another term for pastor, the term bishop, overseer. And those who have been given that responsibility to oversee, to shepherd, to teach, to lead the flocks, the congregations, the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're a member of those churches, you should listen to those men. Only disobey them when you are absolutely convinced that they have strayed from the Bible. If you have a pastor who has departed from the Word of God, don't just announce or just go off in a huff at the first thing that you hear that doesn't please you or you don't think computes exactly perfectly with the way you understand things. You might be mistaken. There's a God-honoring way to approach all these things and to work with them and deal with them and try to get to the bottom of them and correct them, but there very well may come a day when you will have to say, "I'm sorry, I cannot submit myself to a man who is not true to the Word of God." In fact, that would be an honorable thing to do. It would be dishonorable to continue under those circumstances. But short of that, it's for your good, it's for your welfare to obey those who have rule over you and be submissive. Why? For they watch out for your souls. They have your spiritual welfare at heart. And so they're not going to tell you to do something that's not good for you. Listen to them, because they are those who must give an account. They're going to stand before the Lord someday and give an account for their ministry, for the way they shepherded the flock, for the advice, the instructions which they gave to you. They're going to give an account for that. So they're going to do that very carefully in the light of that day. Let them do so with joy. Let them give an account with joy. When pastors stand before the great shepherd and give an account for the people that the great shepherd placed under their care, I suppose the Lord's going to go down through the roll. How about this one? How about that one? How about the other one? Some of those names are going to cause the face of the under shepherd to light up with joy. Oh, what a delight that person was. What an encouragement. What a faithful member. What a godly person. What an eager person to obey and apply the Word of God to their lives. How they leaped at the opportunity to minister to others and to advance the cause of Christ and to strengthen the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a joy it was to be their pastor. Well, how about so-and-so? Now a different expression crosses the under-shepherd's face. It is not joy, it's pain. It's sorrow. It's grief. Oh, what a difficult church member. Oh, what a stubborn sheep. Oh, how difficult it was to get them to stay in the truth of God's Word, to stay in the confines that were laid out for them in the Word of God. Oh, how difficult it was to get them to be faithful to the Lord and to the church and to the work of the Lord. Oh, how eager they were to stray up this path and stray up that path and to try and sniff out everything that was going on and every wind of doctrine that blew along. They were headed off in that direction. They wanted to see how far they could push the limits, how close they could get to the edge of the cliff without falling off. And that's the way they conducted themselves. And oh, the ruin that it brought to them. How badly many of their children turned out because they were not well instructed in the home. Oh, I struggled. I tried to get them to understand the importance of doing things differently. And they just would not obey. They would not submit. They would not listen. They would not follow. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. If thinking about you brings grief to a faithful under-shepherd, that is, a faithful pastor, then that's not good for you. That doesn't sound like you're going to have a good accounting someday before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ. Who are they troubling besides Paul? Themselves, their loved ones, their churches, their pastors. But, of course, ultimately and most directly in this text, they were troubling the Apostle Paul. They were troubling their spiritual father, Paul. And from now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Do you realize how personally Paul was taking the defections, the activity of these members of the Galatian churches who were listening to the Judaizers? This affected him very personally. Now, they probably thought, oh, he shouldn't take that so personally. It's got nothing to do with him. I'm not opposed to Paul. I don't have anything against Paul. There's nothing wrong here between me and Paul. But I find this interesting. I find it attractive. I find it fascinating. I've got to pursue this a little bit further. Paul says, no, you're wrong. It does affect your relationship with me. And it does affect me personally. An honorable apostle of Christ, a faithful apostle of Christ was the Apostle Paul, a faithful preacher of God's word who had told them nothing but the truth, a tested servant of the Lord Jesus Christ who had many years experience serving the Lord and could demonstrate that. He says, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ, the stigmata, the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ, referring to his imprisonments, his beatings, his mistreatment, his mishandling for the cause of Christ. He was willing to do all that to serve the Lord and to serve others and to bring the gospel to them. And in the light of all of that, don't you think they should have given him the benefit of the doubt if they weren't 100% sure? Who should they believe? Who should they trust? A man like this or these Judaizers? A man who was bearing scars, wounds, injuries from persecutions. He'd been stoned at Lystra. That's one of the Galatian churches. This stigmata, which was proof of his authenticity as an apostle of Jesus Christ. These were the marks of his ownership by Christ. And they were turning their backs on him. But ultimately, the one they were troubling was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That's right. Remember what Jesus said on the Damascus Road to Paul? Paul, Paul, why persecutest thou me? Paul had no idea that he was persecuting Jesus. He thought Jesus was dead and gone. He was just trying to clean up Judaism, the Jewish religion. He was persecuting Christ. They were troubling Christ. Let's not be guilty of that. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.